The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? This is the Talking the Star podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey, joined by my co-host tonight, Cole Patterson. Dalton Miller not with us as he's living the good life in Pennsylvania. Don't know what he's doing there. I guess he's at his parents' house just chilling. Must be nice. But
I think he's fishing.
Fishing?
That's what he's been posting about.
Where do you fish at in Pennsylvania?
Don't ask me.
I mean, I guess it is on the coast there, but Pennsylvania does not seem like the fishing spot to go to.
Hey, gotta make do with what you have.
Oh my goodness. Well, Dalton's on a vacation, so he might join us now. Actually, I won't be here next week because I'm getting married in 12 days. So,
podcast might be a little bit more important than your wedding, man. Yeah, I don't know how to feel about you skipping that.
True, that is very true. But if
no, that's big time. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's something. That is something. But maybe I'll be here next week. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll figure that out when the time comes. But we are going to flip it over. We talked a lot. I know, Cole, you weren't with us last week, but me and Dalton talked a lot about the offensive line depth last week. We covered a little bit of like the optimism that we feel like was coming out of minicamp and OTAs and all that as well, because every year I feel like we get to that point where every Cowboys fan and a lot of the media starts talking about this team like they're a Super Bowl contender just based off of these, you know, padded, you know, minicamp practices. And we pumped the brakes on that a lot, you know, talked about a lot of the things we're kind of worried about. But this week we're not going to do any of that. We're going to talk about the defensive line, because we feel like while the defense might not be that much improved this year, if there's one unit on the defense that could be maybe outside a linebacker with Jabril Cox and Michael Parsons added, it would be the defensive line because of some of what they did in free agency and where they spent some of their draft capital. So that's what we're going to touch on today. We talked about offensive line last week. We're going to flip over to the other side of the ball and talk about this defensive line depth. Cole, I wanted to start with you. They had plenty of addition. Well, with you, there's not really anybody else to start with, but I wanted to ask you first. Yeah. You know, they had a lot of additions, whether it be free agency, whether it be draft picks, whether it be UDFAs. Like, they added bodies to that spot. I'm not asking you what is the best player they added. I'm asking you, who are you most excited to see on that defensive line?
So you're just talking about the new additions.
Right. Everybody new. So free agents, draft picks, UDFAs, like anybody. I mean, again, like, I'm not asking who do you think is going to be the best. I'm not asking you who's like – what do, like, maybe it could even be a situation. I know, like, last year they signed some guys in UDFA who we knew weren't going to make the team, but we were excited about what they could be in year two, year three. Is there a guy like that stands out to you in their new additions this year?
So I don't know about UDFA off the top of my head, just because, I mean, they do have a – I mean, they may not make the roster. I know you said that's not the biggest thing, but, I mean, I'm kind of interested in seeing what Brent Urban, you know, brings to this defensive line. I mean, he – obviously had a big role in Chicago, and I think that's a pretty important addition to the Cowboys' defensive line. They need somebody in the middle to go along with, you know, they have some bodies there, but they don't really have anybody that can stop the run. That's kind of been a big issue of the defense. You're kind of hoping Dan Quinn can step in and have some influence there. You're hoping a linebacker play is going to help improve that. But I think Brent Urban is going to be a huge addition to the defense. If the defensive line is improved, as you mentioned, that is a unit that can take that next step if everything goes you know, its way. But yeah, I mean, I think he's the obvious choice. Obviously, added a couple draft picks as well. Just in terms of new additions, I would say Urban. And I know he's not a new addition per se, but I'd also keep an eye on Bradley and I as well. Yeah. I still have a little bit of hope for him. If he was in college, last year was basically like a redshirt year per se. Like, he didn't see the field very much. He didn't make any contributions. But I think, like, he's going to have – I mean, I think, you know, with Dan Quinn in the building, there could be a chance of a guy like Bradley and I, somebody who didn't play last year, to make an impression. So those are two guys who I'd keep an eye on personally.
I'm really – and I probably agree with you the most, because I think Brent Urban's probably would be my pick as well, just because I think –
probably the obvious answer.
Yeah, like, he's probably the one that, one, could be the most talented out of those additions, but two, he's probably the one that can make the biggest impact, too, just based on, like, again, like, I don't think he's going to come in and get you 8 sacks, but I think he can be a much better player than what they're used to in the player that he's going to be, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. A guy who can play the nose, can play the 3, could even play some, you know, 4-eye, some 5-tech in the 3. So he can do so many different things on that defense that I think not only could he be the most talented new addition, but he could do the most things to help that defense improve. And again, like, it's not like he's a young dude coming in that we think is just going to absolutely blow up, but we think that his veteran presence and his versatility could be huge. I'm going to go a little bit different, just because, okay. And this kind of fits what I ask, most interesting, like, guy I'm most interested in, I'm going to go to Carlos Watkins, the free agent signing from Houston. He's bounced around a little bit. He's one of those guys that I don't even know if he makes the 53-man roster, just depending on what they do there, because you got Tristan Hill, you got Neville Gallimore, you got Quentin Bohanna, you got Oso Odighizuwa, you got Brent Urban. Like, you have bodies there. So, like, Carlos Watkins could come down to one of those last spots, or depending on how he does in preseason, or if there's an injury, something like that. But I think there's something there with him. You know, when they signed him, a lot of people just rolled their eyes at it and kind of chuckled that that's who their, you know, first, I think that might've been their first signing of this offseason. But when you dive into his tape, like, he was playing a little bit out of position in Houston. And when you put him in those situations where he can just line up, you know, in that one gapping scheme and really fire off the ball, uses his explosiveness and use his kind of quick twitch that he plays with, you could see the vision that I think maybe the Cowboys had with him and Dan Quinn's scheme, because he has good size. I mean, 6'4", 312 pounds. He has good length. He's got good explosiveness. So he has the traits. He played at a big program in Clemson, so it's not like he's a small school guy. He's just coming in, like, he had a really interesting kind of backstory too. He was in a fatal car accident, and, you know, he wasn't able to play a whole lot at Clemson because of the injuries he suffered there. But once he got back on the field, he was a good player for Clemson, and he was drafted to be, you know, a big time addition to that Houston Texans defense. Obviously, that didn't work out, but I think, you know, he could be in that mix. Like Brent Urban, to come in and, you know, not going to get 7, 8, 9 sacks by any means, but provide a little bit of pass rush, provide some position versatility with the ability to play as a one gapping under tackle and as a one gapping nose. So that's something I'm kind of interested to see, is what he can do. You know, we're going to get to this in a little bit, but they are going to Oxnard for training camp. So that could be his way on the roster, if he can have some of those plays where, you know, the Malik Collins type training camp where he beats Zach Martin every once in a while, like that could find him on the roster. And he's a guy that I'm kind of interested in, mainly because I don't expect a whole lot, but mainly because when I went back and watched some of his tape after he was signed, like I said, I could kind of see the vision with him. And if he can stay healthy, I think he could do do some good things for this team.
Yeah, no, you made some really interesting points that Watkins is being overlooked by a lot of people. And he can have a chance to make the roster if he does make an impression in Oxnard. Obviously, he does have some talent. As you mentioned, he played at a big program in college. And it's not like he's just some, you know, guy that's going to be there to fill a hole in training camp and then you get rid of him and he has no shot to make the roster. Like, there's definitely a pathway to where he can make a name for himself and make the cut. My mind went blank for some reason at the beginning of this topic. But yeah, Quentin Bohanna is definitely a guy that I'm really interested in as well. I know he's gotten some hype, especially after Antoine Woods was released shortly after the draft. But he's a guy that, you know, he's not going to do anything sexy or flashy. He's a big body guy that can clog up lanes. He played in the SEC at Kentucky. He played for Stoops up there in Lexington, who's known for producing really good defenders. And I think he can carve out a role in this Dallas Cowboys defense, just being that guy to clog up lanes, fill holes, help the linebackers get to the to help them improve their run defense and all of that. I think Bohanna's a guy that, you know, day three pick, I'm not saying he's going to be some superstar, but I'm really interested in what he brings to the table as well.
Yeah, let me ask you a little bit about Rondell Carter, a guy that we had on the show last year.
Yeah.
He was practice squad guy, got poached, came back once he was released. I think he was with the Colts for a little bit. They waived him. Cowboys re-signed him to their 53-man, and he actually played a little bit for Dallas at the end of the year last year. Kind of that tweener type of guy who's probably a left defensive end that just doesn't quite have that athleticism to live out on the outside, so they move him inside, so he's kind of fits that more athletic, you know, three technique style of player, can do some both. What did you think of him last year, and do you think he's – because when they signed Rondell Carter last year as a UDFA, he got a pretty big paycheck for undrafted free agent. Do you think he's in their plans this year? And if so, do you think it's more as a defensive end, or do you think it's more maybe as that defensive tackle?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I know you were pretty high on him coming out of James Madison, especially – when they gave him that big deal for UDFA, kind of showed that, I mean, it kind of made everybody think that he was going to be a guy that was going to have a, you know, role with this team. And for whatever reason, he is a tweener. He doesn't have a big strength that's going to, he can point to, he's like, hey, that's going to work in the NFL. But he's a good player. As you mentioned, he showed some things when the Cowboys brought him back after he was cut by the Colts. I don't know if it's not like the defensive line is a strength, so I'm not going to say he can't make the roster or anything, but there just seems to be so many bodies along the defensive line. Like, they drafted three guys. They added Brent Urban in free agency, touchdown Watkins. You still got Gallimore and Tristan Hill. I mean, there just seems to be so much competition. Obviously, Randy Gregory is going to be there, Bradley and I. But, yeah, I mean, I think Carter can at least compete for a spot. I won't say he's going to make the roster, but there's something about them that they like. Obviously, if they're willing to make him a priority free agent, if they're willing to sign him after he, spends a little bit of time with the Colts. Defensive end or D tackle? I don't think he has the size to play defensive end. Maybe he can play a little bit inside, you know. Dan Quinn likes to do a lot of different fronts. He likes to be versatile. Maybe Rondell Carter fits what he likes to do. As far as he can be too quick for the interior of the offensive line. He can kind of make up for his lack of size with his quickness. He was a really good pass rusher coming out of college as well, so he can get in the backfield. I say if he makes a team, it's probably going to be inside. I just think there's a little bit too much competition at defensive end. I think he's a fringe guy. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he made the team, but I don't know who he would beat out. Like, who do you think he would beat out if we're here in September and he makes a team? Like, who's the odd man out? Is it like an Armstrong?
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Probably. That's probably the name. I mean, they're kind of playing different positions because Armstrong is more that, you know, weak side defensive end, Sam linebacker. So, I mean, he's almost what you – not the, quite the same player, but like him and Chauncey Golson are kind of like the similar maybe, you know. But, I mean, I don't know, man.
About tweeners.
The next guy I wanted to talk about a little bit too and the only reason I didn't mention him in the first question I asked, because I'm not sure if he's going to be a defensive lineman or kind of that Sam linebacker, is Terrell Basham out of the they signed him from the Jets this past offseason. And that's another guy kind of like, you know, Urban, kind of like Carlos Watkins that I feel like not enough people are talking about, because when they signed him, like, I like Basham a lot. Coming out of the draft a few years ago when he was drafted by the Jets. I want to say they took him in the third round, third or fourth round. It was pretty early signing for him, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, he came in. He was a good Senior Bowl player. Didn't do a ton of, you know, didn't have a ton of productivity in New York with the Jets, but who does? So he's kind of the same mold that I see with Carlos Watkins, where, you know, he's drafted by the Colts. He was waived a few years later. The Jets picked him up. He had a little bit of a good run with the Jets, and now he's kind of just finding his way, you know, finding a new home, trying to figure out what he's going to be. Is he going to be that Sam linebacker? Is he going to be that weak side defensive end? But I think Basham's a guy that, you know, if you want to – those, you know, third and longs, when you're just trying to rush the passer, like – if you want to reduce Tank down inside, play him at under tackle. If you want to put Basham and Gregory as your two, you know, defensive ends, you know, in that three man front on third and longs, like, I think that's a little bit interesting scenario. Maybe have Micah Parsons coming on the blitz as well. Like, that, those are little things that I think, like, I don't think Basham's a guy that's going to line up, play 90% of snaps at defensive end and just set the world on fire. But I think he can fill a valuable role in this defense, given what he offers as a pass rusher and what he can offer as a stand up guy who can do some things in coverage and play the run from that linebacker spot as well.
Yeah, and he's a really athletic guy, and he has really good size. He's lengthy, he's lanky, he's got that. He's got almost a 35-inch wingspan. I think he is a guy that you can line up a little bit all over your defense. He's not going to be a superstar. He's not going to be, like, an elite player, but he started some games for the Jets. As you mentioned, he's a productive player. But yeah, I'm totally with you as far as being able to pass a rusher, maybe use him, Randy Gregory, and Micah Parsons to be able to get after the quarterback. I don't think any of us think that Cowboys defense is going to be elite by any means or anything like that. But I think they do have some interesting players, you know, some chess pieces that can make things difficult for the quarterback. Obviously, Parsons is a guy that can line up all over. But even a Basham, as we mentioned with Urban, he can line up a little bit. Around the defensive line, Basham can play at linebacker, play a defensive end. If you need him rush a quarterback, he can do that. These guys aren't really household names, but I do think they can make some impact on the defensive line. And like you said, not many people are talking about them. I think some of that has to deal with, you know, the excitement with the rookies, and also these guys aren't big name free agents either. Like, the casual person probably has no idea who Brent Urban or Terrell Basham are, just because, I mean, they're not running up video game numbers. They're not somebody you play with on Madden. You know, you don't hear their names a lot, you know, but I do think they're going to be very important players. And I would be shocked if Basham doesn't have a a pretty decent role in Dan Quinn's defense next year. As I mentioned, Dan Quinn does like to, you know, he does like to be a versatile. He likes to play multiple defenses. He likes to confuse the quarterback, and I think Basham kind of fits that pretty nicely.
Before we get out of here, do you see any like surprise cuts, surprise trades, or anything from the defensive line? I mean, like, I was surprised when Antoine Woods was released.
Yeah.
You know, at a draw, you know, it was like they signed a few guys, they had the draft, and Antoine Woods was released because Woods has played, you know, he started a lot of games for this team over the last 2 years and played some pretty, you know, good football. Not great, not elite by any means, but just solid, you know, games here and there. And I thought he would be, you know, a rotational depth piece for this defensive line. But could you see any scenarios where, you know, maybe Dorrance Armstrong is that guy that gets released? But could you see a situation where maybe one of these draft picks gets released, whether it's Chauncey Golson or Odighizuwa? Like, I feel like those were third-round picks, but, I mean, obviously not all these defensive line can make it. It's like, I'd be disappointed if Brent Urban got released, but I don't think you can totally count that out because of what they did in the draft and just how many guys they have on that defensive line right now. But do you have anyone that you would be just absolutely shocked if they did, or I guess I should say not shocked if they did end up releasing them?
Like a semi of a possibility happening.
Yeah.
I think Armstrong's definitely the obvious one that you point to, just because, you know, the draft. Armstrong's not a guy that's, and he's not a bad player by any means, but Golson can kind of do a little bit what he does. I don't know if there's another guy. I know I just talked about him. Anai's a guy that.
That's what I was gonna say. What about Bradley Anai? Because not, I mean, he wasn't drafted by this, you know, defensive coaching staff. Like,
he was a day three pick too, so they don't have any pick, like,
didn't get any really any playing time at all last year. Like,
he's a guy that I like, but I would not be shocked if he doesn't make the cut. I mean, he's a little bit. He's a tweener, too, in a little bit, as far as he, not really a tweener, but he's undersized. You know, he doesn't have this great size. That was kind of one of his downfalls and why he fell in the draft. He's a guy that I wouldn't be shocked were to be cut. I guess if I'm a little bit if I'm going outside the box, I think this would be a bigger surprise. But, you know, they have some D linemen. They have Brent Urban. Got Gallimore. He probably went more playing time for him. What do you think about, like, Tristan Hill? Do you think his, like,
that could be one too. I mean, he's coming off and
I mean, and it's not like he was lighting the world on fire either before his injury. Like, I wouldn't bet money or anything, or be like, I wouldn't expect him to be cut. But he's a guy that I could see if you're looking at somebody besides Armstrong, besides Anai, I'd keep an eye on that. I think he could be on that fringe, making the roster or not, if he has a bad training camp.
I just don't really know what Tristan Hill does in this defense anymore.
Like,
he's not a nose. I don't think he's consistent enough to, I mean, he's not, you know, Malik Collins was never like down in, down out consistent, but he would provide that pass rush every once in a while. I'm like, we saw a terrible year from Hill. We saw him injured, and now he's coming back from an injury that, you know, a lot of people come back from nowadays, but like, you out of, he's going into his third year and we've seen nothing productive from Tristan.
Like,
from a second round pick. Like, that's
I think the second round pick is the only saving grace for him right now. If he was a day three pick.
Like Gallimore, Odighizuwa, like, those are guys who are like, you know, this almost to me, like, very similar players to Tristan Hill. Obviously, Tristan Hill's a little bit more explosive, I guess you can say, than like an Odighizuwa, but Neville Gallimore and Tristan Hill are very similar in the ways they play. It's just they're a little bit different body types.
Yeah, so, I mean, but like you said, Hill hasn't shown us anything for like 3 years. So, I mean, like you said, they drafted guys that can kind of fill his role. I would have to assume you want a bigger role for Gallimore as well. I mean, I guess you could play them together, but Gallimore is a guy you definitely want on the field more often than not over Tristan Hill. He had a horrible rookie year. He showed a little bit, I guess, last year before the injury. It wasn't great, but you could kind of see some of the flashes, and he gets hurt. So he's a guy that I would keep an eye on for sure.
Nothing makes me chuckle more than when we talk about Tristan Hill, and like, again, like I hope he turns into Aaron Donald, but like I didn't like Tristan Hill pre-draft.
Yeah.
And he was terrible year one, and then year two, you know, he played a handful of games and tore his ACL. And people like come at me on the internet and they're like, "Oh, so you said Tristan Hill sucked." And I was like, "What in your right mind has proved that he doesn't?" Like,
yeah, what has changed that opinion? If you thought he was bad, what has he done to change that?
Right, like, again, like, I hope he turns into Aaron Donald, but, like, so far, Tristan Hill has been a bad player in year one and maybe not quite a bad player in the games he played in year two, and then he tore his ACL. So it's like,
yeah.
at most, you got a not good player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think, yeah, I know, I completely agree. That's what I'm saying. I think the only reason why people aren't talking about him being a potential cut is being the second round pick. There's so many people. I'm not talking about fans or anything. I think just a team itself. I don't think they want to part ways with a second round pick before the end of his con. I know they have done it. I know Taco obviously got released and all that. So it's not like uncommon per se. But I think that's his only like thing he can hold his hat on, because he's literally not put anything on film to like.
I will say when you look at the measurables and you look at the testing, he does kind of fit what Dan Quinn looks for, because I know he's got super long arms, and we know how much of importance that is to Dan Quinn based on, you know, 90% of the draft picks this year. So he's got that going for him. But other than that, I mean, I think he's a guy that's really got to show up to camp and be ready to compete, because a guy like Carlos Watkins, you know, the guys like Osa, the guys like, I mean, Brent Urban, Neville Gallimore, I mean, they're coming
for those jobs.
I guess my thing is like, obviously his contract's guaranteed, so you release him, you're not saving any money, but like, I could find you 10 free agents on the street right now who are probably going to be, I would almost guarantee, better players than Tristan Hill would be this year. So it's like,
no, I don't disagree.
Like you said, like, it just feels like they're like holding on hope that he can have that third year jump. And it's just like, that.
Coming off a season-ending injury.
Right. Like, the second-year jump is a thing, because you get a year, you get a full offseason, you adapt to the NFL. You rarely see a third-year jump. Like, I think people don't realize how quickly rookie contracts progress, because everybody's like, oh, you can't judge a player after 3 years. And it's like, what the hell do you want me to do then? Because it's not after 3 years and I'm judging him in his contract year. And that's not when you want to judge. That's not when you judge a player, because if he has a good year and you pay him like he's a good player, that's how you make
bad recipe.
That's how you give out. Right. So it's just like, you normally know what you got in a player within two and a half years. So like, he better come out firing all cylinders if he makes the roster and wants to maybe see a second contract. But it's just
I completely agree.
But all right, that's all we got time for.
Yeah,
the Cowboys are heading to Oxnard this year. The dates are kind of getting floated out there a little bit. So it'll be late July. They'll be in Oxnard, California for training camp. Sounds like fans will be allowed. It sounds like media will be allowed. It sounds like things are getting a little bit back to normal. So we'll be we'll be looking forward to maybe getting out there some shape or form or fashion and seeing some of this training camp and talking about it some more. But these next few weeks are going to be just so rough. It's like, what's worse for you, the weeks leading up to training camp when there's just nothing to talk about, or preseason going into the season?
Definitely when there's nothing to talk about, in my opinion. Because, like, at least preseason. Yeah. You're kind of grasping for stuff in preseason. But at least it's football. At least you're actually talking about real things. I feel like in the offseason, there's nothing to talk about. You're kind of having to, like, you know, kind of force conversation or, like, trying to, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah. I'm ready for the preseason. It's going to be here before we know it. It seems like we were talking in draft, doing mock drafts like last week. So it's flying by.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool, man. We will some form or fashion be back next week. I might be there. We'll see what happens.
But focus on your wedding, man. Me and Dalton will hold it down.
There you go. Well, either way, this show will be back next week, whether I'm here, whether it's Cole, whether it's Dalton, whether it's all three of us, whatever. There will be some form or fashion of this show next week. what we're going to talk about. We have absolutely no idea.
Figure it out. Yeah.
So we're gonna see what happens. But we'll be back next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Talking the Star.